To the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8. You may be sure you are familiar with the story in Acts, chapter 8. But let's stand in respect to the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to, tonight or this afternoon. Acts, chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot," read Isaiah the prophet. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all of the cities till he came to Caesarea." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the good day you've given us. Thank you for the lunch that's been provided today. And Lord, thank you for the physical food that, Lord, you've given us so abundantly in America. Lord, we thank you for the families, Lord, that prepared the meals, and Lord, the fellowship we could have with one another. But Lord, most of all, we thank you for the precious Word of God. For Lord, it is our meat and our milk, Lord, in a time of need in our life. And Lord, certainly as we've read the story, Lord, about Philip, teach us today a truth that, Lord, will be what Philip was. And Lord, help us to be the kind of a worker that, Lord, we ought to be for the glory of God. And Lord, you know the heart of each individual that's in this auditorium today. Lord, if there would be one that's lost, dear God, would you work on that heart? Cause them today, Lord, to have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. I pray, Lord, for Christians today. May we, Lord, see things in this passage that, Lord, will give us a greater zeal to be the kind of a worker that, Lord, we need to be to reach others for Christ. And, Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do in this hour. Watch over Dr. Kirkman. Lord, I'm sure he's probably standing in a pulpit this evening. And, Lord, to lift up his voice. And Lord, I pray that you anoint him with that special anointment tonight. Lord, to speak to hearts. Now, Lord, speak to our heart here. Dear God, give me liberty. Guard my lips and my mannerisms tonight. Give me clarity of mind and thought that, Lord, will honor you. And thank you for what you're going to do in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in respect to the reading of God's Word. Do you know that I guess you could call this message the kind of a worker God needs? Certainly Philip is an example to you and I as an individual as we look at this story. Do you know God's looking for workers in His vineyard all over the world? We've got a command in the book of Matthew chapter 28 and then the book of Mark chapter 16 and the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 where He indicates that we need to go and be a witness and win others to Christ. And so we've got this command to the believer. Now, today, as I've visited various churches in Missouri, it amazes me that there's not a soul-winning program in most churches today. It isn't in the bulletin. It isn't announced from the pulpit that there's going to be soul-winning on such and such a night or such and such afternoon. It just seems like it's been dropped from the program of the majority of Baptist church. That's all I preach in is a Baptist church. And shame to go to some of them. But maybe God can get a hold of some people's hearts. But the fact is that it's still a command that we have to be a soul winner. As I was looking in my Bible and studying and reading, do you know it said in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30? It says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." None. I believe God's looking in America today for workers that are willing to be hedge builders and gap fillers. I believe it's so needed today, but we've become so busy in our everyday life that it is one part of the ministry of the local church that just seems like it has fallen by the wayside. And therefore, tonight, I want to just challenge you to look at this story and look at your life as He is a pattern. I believe God's given us a pattern that we can be able to see that we ought to be that kind of an individual. And so think about it, first of all. If you was applying for a job out in the marketplace or out in society, you would find that there's always some requirements that have to be met. They just don't take anybody off the street and put him into a CPA's position or whatever job you might be looking for. They're looking for some people that are trained in that part of the work. God's looking for some specific people to cover a responsibility of going out. And it is our responsibility. Again, if you look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, He talks about going and making disciples and baptizing them. He talks about that in the book of Mark chapter 16. And He talks about it in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 when He told the disciples to go back to Jerusalem and wait and then to go out into the communities and around the country of winning people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this, one of the first things that we find about Philip is that he was a saved man. He was not just an ordinary individual. If you go back into Acts chapter 6, you'll find out he was a special man among seven that were chosen to reach people in the local church. And so we find that Philip was a man who was of honest report. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that he spoke in tongues or anything like that, but he was a man that was controlled by God through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in an individual. And by the way, it is also a fact that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you read the book of Acts if you read the book of Ephesians chapter 5, you begin to see that in verse 18. And then in verse 20, he begins to show you the obedience of the church family or the individual that's filled with that Spirit. And so we've got to learn to be filled with that Spirit. It isn't something that just happens at one time. I believe it ought to be a daily part of our life, where we ask the Lord in our devotional time to fill us with that Spirit. Make us available. Have you ever prayed that God would let you as an individual run into somebody that needed Jesus? I mean, He will. You would be surprised how many people are just waiting on somebody to tell them about life. And boy, we live in a world now where people need some kind of hope. And Jesus Christ is the only kind of hope that we can offer an individual, whether he be in prison or whether he is in our communities. And so we find that Philip was such a man. And not only that, but we also find him serving faithfully. Serving faithfully. Look at verse 25 of Acts chapter 8. And notice he says, and they, that's the rest of the disciples that were with him, the seven, and when they testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Here we find the seven. They was busy. They just went traveling and began to preach when they got back home. You know what I've found a lot of times evangelists do? When they're not preaching, they sit at home. They're not involved in the local church like they ought to be. It's time we realize that God's book, God's word, deals with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, I realize in my own life that sometimes I'm limited because of physical difficulties that arise. But you know what? It's never stopped me dialing somebody on the telephone. I mean, there's many ways with our technology today that we can continue to serve the Lord faithfully, regardless of where we are at. And of course, the Bible teaches us that we need to be faithful. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are you faithful? Not just in coming to church, but what about in your daily life at home? Are you faithful in reading your Bible every day? Are you faithful in taking time out to pray by yourself? Too many times devotions seem to be what each of us depend on without going to the Lord separately. We need a time alone with God. We need that. He said we ought to go to our closet and pray. Now, I'm not talking about the regular closet in your house, but someplace alone where you can converse with God on a one-to-one basis. How many times have you prayed around your family and you prayed to please the wife or the children? never really pouring your heart out to God because it's just you and Him. We need to learn to pray in our closets so that we can get a hold of God and let Him know there's things that we need to talk to God about and nobody else. God listens. He said, I hear the cry of the righteous in the book of Psalms. And so we need to cry out. We need to be faithful in our Bible. We need to be faithful in church. We need to be faithful in the activities where we're always being challenged to live a different kind of life. Because it's easy to get caught up in the world's affairs and all of a sudden we slip away. And we slip away. And so we need to be found faithful. And that's what we see in these seven men's lives and also in Philip's. Notice verse 26 and verse 27. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Notice, and he arose and went. He was busy in preaching externally out of Jerusalem, it says in the other parts of the Samaria. And all of a sudden, God said, I want you to go down to the desert. Should I leave? I don't know how many people were getting saved under his ministry. I haven't got any idea. But 10 sure look a lot better than 1. And so now he had a decision to make. But he followed the leadership of the Lord. And that's what you and I need to do, is being busy in the work. And wherever God leads, that where it is. And you probably wouldn't fit in prison. I'll take you. I believe next month, the week before Thanksgiving, we'll be having a revival at the prison. If you want to go to prison, I'll get you back out if we can get you in. But the fact is that, hey, do you realize that we need to be submissive to the leadership of the Lord? And you would be surprised where He might take you. Here He's taken Philip. He said, okay, Philip, here's where I want you to go. And I'm sure that Philip knew exactly where this desert was at, because this was in his territory. And so I like what it says. And he arose and went, submissive to the leadership of the Lord. We find in John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus was teaching his disciples. And he said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. That Spirit of truth lives in the believer. That same one that Jesus is talking about here lives in you, and he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to guide you to the places where you can speak that truth and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and win souls. And so we need to be busy in following the leadership of the Lord. As I mentioned this morning, don't follow your heart. If you follow your heart, you might be in trouble, because we found out in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so don't follow your heart. Follow this book. And that's exactly where God's going to lead you back to. He's going to lead you to the book, and He will begin to set up things for you so that you can clearly see this is God's direction for your life. That's why He said over in the book of Psalms chapter 40 and verse 2. We read it this morning. He establishes our ways. He's got a direct route to where He wants us to be. And what's his purpose behind it? Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says he wants to conform us to the image of his Son. And can you find Jesus sitting by wherever he was at, whether it was one person or whether it was a whole 4,000 or 5,000 that he had that he fed that day? He was always busy, always busy. But he did have time to get away, but it seemed like he was even busy then. But the fact is, we need to follow the leadership of the Lord. I don't find a retirement age in the Bible. Now, there was in the Levites, they could only work till they was 50, and then they still worked. But the fact is, there's no retirement age. I know retirement communities. I was preaching in one down in Florida several years ago. All retired Baptist preachers. They had their bathing suits and they had their golf clubs and all of that. Belonged to a little church. And I asked one of them, I said, "You ever go out soul winning?" He says, "No, we're here to relax." Hey, I want us to realize that we can rest all we want to when we get to heaven. And it's going to be better than 70 years. I can guarantee you that. He said eternity. And you say, "We ain't going to rest over there." Well, reread the book of Luke chapter 16. And you'll find out Lazarus was comforted. Ah, hey, we can rest on the other side. But we won't have no physical difficulties over there. We can jump and sing and howl and shudder and do whatever we want to under the leadership of the Lord. And that's the way it ought to be in our life, is we need to follow the leadership of the Lord. Now look at verse 30 in Acts chapter 8. Notice this. "And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, 'Understandest what thou readest?'" He wasn't lazy. He saw this chariot out in the desert. And can you imagine? This old eunuch, he's not wasting time. He wants to get back home. He's been in Jerusalem. Now he's headed back to Ethiopia to go see the queen. And so he's probably running his horse. And Philip has to run. And when he caught up with him, the guy was still gone and reading. But the fact is that, hey, he knew exactly where he was reading. He wasn't running beside him and have his Bible in his hand and the pages are flipping because he's a running. He knew where he was reading from. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53. He knew that. Can you find Jesus in the Old Testament? They didn't have our 66 books we got today. They didn't have that. Too many of us only know a plan of salvation out of the book of Romans. But he led this man to the Lord out of the book of Isaiah. And the thing is, we need to know our Bible. Did you know Jesus is found in every book of the Bible? He is the theme of the Bible. If you ever get a chance, there's a message out by Dr. Crumpton called Jesus. I was listening to it on my way down this morning. I'm glad I had cruise control, because if it wouldn't have been for cruise control, I might have got here 20 minutes earlier or 20 minutes later after the cops got done with me. But anyway, I had it on there, and he began to preach on Jesus. And I mean, he showed every book of the Bible, and he showed also, he said, like to the geologist, he's the rock of ages, and just went on down through it. And just exciting to preach Jesus. And that's what he done, because his whole life was there. But he was sound in his knowledge and doctrine of the Word of God. Because if you read on down further, you see that somewhere in this conversation that he had with him, he showed him the need of baptism. And he didn't even have a New Testament yet. But he knew what the Lord wanted him to do. He had knowledge of the Bible. And so, if I gave you a sheet of paper tonight, could you write down the books of the Bible in order? Or are we not that far along yet? We need to know our Bible. You ought to need to know exactly what's in it. You may not be able to point to the scripture that you're thinking of, but you can sure point out the book, because you've learned some things about it. And we need to know. He said over in the book of Matthew chapter 28, the responsibility of the church was not only to win them and baptize them, but he said, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Have you ever looked at the commands of the New Testament that God said do as a believer? It's important, because he wants us to be the kind of an individual that can carry that gospel. Who knows how you can prove that the Bible is inspired? What scripture would you go to? Anybody? Okay. How about 2 Timothy chapter 2? Or chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. If you don't know that, shame on you. Because you're going to have to prove today that the Bible is the Word of God. People don't have the Bible today as they ought to. It is not the book young people are carrying around between the ages of 12 and 35. They're not carrying their Bibles. In fact, the majority don't even have a Bible, because they don't care about the things of God. And so we need to have these things available in our heart and our lives, so that we can be able to tell them, memorize the scripture. Somebody said this afternoon, you got a lot of verses memorized in your Bible. Yeah, about 500 of them. But the fact is that there's some of them I don't even know where they're at. I just know when God brings it to mind. But you see, you're going to have to put into the computer so that God can recall it. And the only way you can is to learn to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible through at least once a year. You ought to set up a program. If you need a program, talk to your pastor. I know that he's got it. You ought to set up a schedule. You ought to read the book of Proverbs through every month for 12 months. I mean, read it through. 31 chapters, 31 days in the month. When you get to February, just go ahead and read the rest of it on that same day. But the fact is, we need to know. And as you read the book of Proverbs, read it with a purpose. Not just to say, hey, pastor, I read my Proverbs today. No. Read it with a purpose. I teach the men. I give them 12 questions. And I said, okay, as you read the book of Proverbs, you take one question through the month and you find an answer to that question in the book of Proverbs. I tell them to find, what does God say about finances? You want to learn about finances and how to stay out of financial trouble? Read the book of Proverbs. You want to know, kids, what kind of friends you ought to have? Man, read the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1 is full of it. He said, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And then down later he says, walk not in their way. And he gives you how to deal with life. Parents, if you want to know what to teach your children, Read the book of Proverbs and take the phrase, my son. And it'll teach you exactly what you need to teach your children about life. Out of one book. Read it 12 times through in a year. I've been doing it for a long time. I haven't this month. But the fact is that, hey, we need to stay in our Bible. And so, memorize it. Who knows the verse of Scripture that tells us to memorize our Bible? Psalm 119, verse 11. Now I see heads nodding. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. See? Hey, do you want to know how to clean up your life? Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You see, the Bible gives us the answer to any question you got, and you need that when you begin to talk with the young people and the families today. You need to be able to have answers at hand so that you can win them. And that's what enticed this individual called the Ethiopian eunuch, that he would know what the Bible said. He said he preached unto him Jesus. He knew the doctrine of the Word of God and the Bible knowledge. That's why Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If somebody walked up to you as you was going home, stopped you and said, hey, I see something that maybe you've got a bumper sticker or something. I know the other day I was driving town, said, honk if you know Jesus. And he stopped at a stoplight, and I knew how long it would take the stoplight to change. And so I run up to his car. I said, I'm not going to honk, but do you know Jesus? He turned pale. I think he had black shoes on and they turned white. Hey, I want you to know today, just because the fact that some people proclaim does not mean they know. And therefore, we need to be able to be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope. And man, do we need to show that hope in the days that we live in right now. Are you worried about January already? Our politicians are. If they just read their Bible, they'd find out how to handle all this stuff. If some of them would just get saved, it would make a big difference. And so we need to be knowledgeable about the Word of God. We need to be knowledgeable about the doctrine. Have you ever taken time? I made sure before I asked this question that your internet does have the Bible doctrine in it, the statement of faith. Have you ever taken time to read it? Shame on if you haven't. You ought to read it and see, what does our church believe? We need to know that. Because you're going to be asked the question, what church you go to? And guess what? They're going to go and look at it, just sure as the world. And you ought to be able to show them how to get there. So that they can see that, hey, here's what we believe. Notice in verse 35. Notice, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Well, he taught the most positive outlook on life. Here was a man who had just been to Jerusalem for the Passover feast and all of the hype that goes along with it. And he went home empty. Or he went out into the desert empty. But boy, when he heard about Jesus, It made all the difference in his life, because now he had a reason for the hope. And that's why the Bible shows us that we ought to teach them. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching. I love teaching. I do it every Thursday night at the prison. We're going through the Ten Commandments. And that one guy said to me, he said, I didn't know it meant all of that. I teach them one by one. And they sit and listen for an hour and 45 minutes in each lesson. And I give them a piece of paper that goes with the lesson and things. But the fact is that, hey, we need to teach the principles not only in church, but we need to teach them to our children. We need to teach them to our families. If you've got company over, and maybe they're going to stay a few days, do you have devotions with them? Do they even know that you have devotions? Too many times we're too secretive about what we believe. Therefore, we need to conduct our lives according to the Word of God and teach. And I believe teaching in the home is as important as it is in the church. You say, oh, well, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This ought to be a set of verses. I've preached some messages on it. But notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Notice beginning in verse 4. Well, he's talking to Israel. Now notice verse 5. And I believe the application of this is for each of us as parents. Notice what he says. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt notice this. He's talking to the parents now. He's giving them instruction. He says, and thou shalt teach them diligently. What is it that he says? What is them? Is he talking about the children? No. He's talking about verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You've got to teach them how to love the Lord. Loving the Lord with all your heart is not the church's responsibility to win your children to Christ. It's you as a parent. It ought to be said, I led my children to the Lord. He's talking to you personally as a family, teaching them. Them is those commandments. Do you know if the children never see you as an individual having devotions in your life? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. That is personal fellowship with God. If they don't see you as an individual having personal fellowship with the Lord, how are you going to train them how to live that Christian life? And then he says, with all thy might. And he's talking about serving the Lord in a daily capacity. With all you got. Now, he goes on, look at the rest of that verse. He says, now teach them unto thy children. And then he shows you, when do I teach them these truths? Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What are you going to talk about when you get home tonight and gather around the supper table or gather around? Roast Chaplain Schoenholz. We ought to be talking about spiritual things around the table. So the children see that, hey, Mom and Dad enjoyed church today. Ask the children, what did you learn in Sunday school? If you didn't go to Sunday school, shame on you. Come next Sunday. But the fact is, he says we need to teach them there in the home. When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way. That's the business world. What are you doing teaching your children about business? You come home and say, well, I got over on my employer today. I didn't get much done. That's what you're teaching the children. But are you teaching them that you are working for an individual and you're giving it all you got? Because the children are going to do exactly what you've done in excess when they become of age. Because they're following Mom and Dad. And so, it is a responsibility of teaching them by the way. And when thou sittest down, or when thou liest down. What are the last words the kids hear when you send them to bed? Get yourself in that bed. Don't you get out again. If you do, why don't you pray with them before they go into bed? When they cover up their head, why don't you kneel by the bed and pray for them? And let them hear that Mom and Dad are concerned about their daily lives? That they have a good rest? And not what we usually say. And then he says, what? When thou risest up. Get up, kids. Time to go to school. The bus is going to be here in a few minutes. If you don't hurry up, you're not going to miss it. And I'm not taking you to school. Sound familiar? Do you know you ought to get them up early enough to have devotions with them? And feed them a good breakfast instead of throwing them a protein bar. After you get older, you can eat all the protein bars you want. You need them, I do. But the fact is that, hey, he's talking about families. And that we need to teach them. And that's our first responsibility. Do you know that it's in the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother? How are you going to teach them how to honor father and mother if you don't take time to teach them these principles? That's why the kids are wayward today in public schools, and they have to have the sheriff walking the hallways and all of these things. It's because the homes have become negative to teaching Bible-principled living. And therefore, we've got a great responsibility. And that is what Philip is talking about when he opened his mouth and preached Jesus to him out of the Scriptures. The last thing that I find is in verse 39. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I see a satisfied soul there. He went away rejoicing. Never again did he ever cross the path of this Ethiopian eunuch. Never again. There's many men and women in prison over the years that have trusted Christ, and I've never seen them again. But I was satisfied because that I've taught them Jesus. There's many people going to come through this church that you may never see again. And the way that you as an individual touch their life can make a difference, that they'll remember you because of Jesus. You see, the kind of a worker that God needs is one who's surrendered, who knows his Bible, is willing to take the gospel to any place, be able to lead them to Christ, and find yourself satisfied that you've accomplished it for not yourself, but for His honor and glory. Because it's Him that we must please. That's what Enoch's life was all about. It says before he died, you can look at it in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 3, I think it is. He said that his life pleased the Lord. I guess that was his epitaph. If you die, will you have an epitaph that says from the church family, here's a man, here's a woman whose life pleased the Lord. Pleased Him. That's what we need. That's the kind of a worker that God's looking for. It's the kind of a worker we need in our homes, in our public positions, wherever we might work. We ought to have the right testimony that others would see Christ in me. I hope if you're here tonight and you're not saved, my biggest concern is that if you died tonight without Christ, you'd be separated from God for eternity. Never, never to know the power of God or His presence again. Won't you trust Him today as your Savior? Christian, are you the servant, the worker that God wants you to be as outlined in the Word of God? Not my thoughts, but His principles for my life. Let's bow our heads.